Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Mac McIntyre. We're going to go old school here with just the two of us, like we started, Mac, right? Just two people with a dream.
That's right.
So this will be a little brief respite from your Friday grind. If you're hearing screaming, that is my daughter in the background.
Special guest star.
So she'll offer like the screaming laugh track. She's screaming in hilarity. But let's just get right to it, I guess. Have you seen anything this past week, Mac?
Yeah, I did. I made it out to the theater, and I saw Cowboys and Aliens.
Ooh, and?
It's getting real mixed reviews from folks, but honestly, I really liked it.
Now, let me ask you, I mean, is there a good amount of action in it?
Yeah, there's a good amount, yeah.
That was one complaint I had heard.
Really?
Yeah.
It starts out with just some good old, you know, in the first third of the movie is just like some, you know, cowboy shoot 'em up action.
Sure.
And then there's some more like sort of horror type scenes where the aliens first make their presence known and everybody's screaming and running. And then there's just some action bits throughout. There's a really great scene where they sort of do a takeoff on the famous Western stunt of the hero jumping off of his horse onto a train. Instead of the train, it's the spaceship. That was really a fun action scene. Real just, you know, adrenaline rush type of scene. And there's a huge battle at the end. So I don't know where people are getting this no action thing.
All right. So is it, what, merely summer blockbuster fodder, or is it something a little more memorable, or what?
Yeah, it's definitely summer action popcorn movie type of stuff. You know, Daniel Craig is Mr., you know, stoic badass guy.
Sure.
And Harrison Ford is really great. He hasn't been this good in a long time. He plays, if it were a typical Western, he'd be the villain, right? But then the aliens show up and those, you know, lines get blurred because now the human heroes and villains have to learn to work together.
Huh.
The aliens.
Well, you know, that sounds compelling to me.
Yeah.
Maybe I've just been, I've been scared off by the mixed reviews perhaps, so.
Yeah, it's really weird how this movie's like divided people. I think the smartest thing they did was play it straight. You know, there's no tongue-in-cheek anything. There's no winking at the audience. You know, there's no "haha, look at us." We're making a movie with cowboys and aliens. They just, you know, they take the concept and they just play it completely straight. You know, it's a Western, and then the aliens show up and everybody fights. So, and I think that was the smart way to go, actually.
All right, nice. So where's the ranking looking like now? Has that penetrated the top three for the summer for you?
I would say no, but don't take that as a knock against the movie. I was really entertained.
All right.
It's, you know, like I said, popcorn movie. And nice. And Harrison Ford, man, he's great in this.
That's good.
He shows like a ton of personality.
That's what I like to hear. All right. Well, for me, instead of a movie, how about some comic book news from my end?
Sure.
A friend of mine loaned me The Ultimates, right? The Avengers,
mm-hmm.
Ultimates. So I'm on book two of that. So I don't know how far behind I am on things or whatnot, but pretty interesting. I'm typically not a big comic book guy, and if I were, I wouldn't be a huge Marvel guy. But I've been it's been interesting, and it's kind of grown up. Have you read The Ultimates?
Yeah, it's very controversial.
Yeah, please explain why. I'd like to know now.
Well, like you say, it's kind of a more adult take,
right,
on the Avengers, and they kind of sort of the writer is, I believe, Mark Millar.
Yep, right.
And he really likes to like push the envelope and really push boundaries. And I guess if you're only in book two, maybe you haven't gotten to the really naughty stuff yet.
I heard book three. Like my friend warned me that book three is like where, you know, like book three, people do not like that or have not responded well to that. So
yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking of.
All right, I look forward to it now. Yeah, I mean, so far I've learned that Thor is like a hardcore leftist activist. Giant Man beats his wife.
That was hugely controversial.
Was it? Yeah, I mean, not knowing much of them, without, like, I'm guessing they were a loving couple prior to that.
Right, and well, first of all, you know the difference between Ultimate Marvel and Marvel, right?
Yeah, they're probably like parallel. Are they kind of parallel universes?
Yeah, like two different universes.
Okay. All right.
Marvel is like the classic Avengers that from the 60s that we all grew up with.
Yeah.
And then the Ultimate books were created in around 2000 to generate new readers. And that's why they're trying to be all like hip and edgy.
So what's considered canon? Is that where it gets fuzzy?
Because
it's
Avengers
hard not to
and
these Avengers, these Ultimates, and not think of, ooh, the Avengers movie. You know?
That's true. And they're definitely an influence. I mean, look at how they drew Captain America.
Right.
In that first one. And,
that's right. That's and Samuel L. Jackson is Nick Fury.
That's right. Yeah. That was actually introduced in Ultimate X-Men, but yeah, you're totally right. And so, yeah, they're definitely an influence on the movies.
So, like, what are other examples? Like, is Ultimate Spider-Man vastly different? Ultimate.
It was. That's my phone in the background. Just ignore that. It was Ultimate Spider-Man. The concept was that he wouldn't leave high school throughout the run. They'd keep him a teenager the whole time.
Okay.
But in just the last year or so, the Ultimate Spider-Man's gotten really crazy. And you probably heard the latest press releases.
Oh yeah, right. With the new
Ultimate
Spider-Man.
Yeah. So I don't know where they're going with that.
Okay. Well, I look forward to reading book three here. So it's pretty controversial.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the writer, though, Mark Millar. Okay. Everything he touches turns into controversy.
All right.
Also check out Ultimate X-Men is pretty good, too.
Yeah, how's that different from mainstream X-Men?
It's more similar than you'd think,
sure.
Except Wolverine has sex a lot more. But, yeah, the first couple of books are pretty good, but then the sort of the middle section of the books were written by my guy, Brian K. Vaughan, who's one of my favorite writers.
Okay.
And Ultimate X-Men really took off then, so.
Nice. All right. I definitely
recommend those.
Good to know. Well, moving on, have you checked out done anything for the site that's coming up that you'd like to bring special attention to?
Yeah, let's see. Well, first thing, I'm reviewing my very first Blu-ray title.
Fantastic. What is that?
Cowboy Bebop the movie.
All right. You know, I bought that once, like an impulse buy at Blockbuster, and never once put it in my DVD player.
Oh, you should check it out. It's a lot of fun. You might be a little bit confused not having seen the series, but I'm assuming you haven't seen the series.
No, I have not.
But no, it's a really good movie. It's one of the few anime out there that isn't head-scratching weirdness that actually tells a good story.
Very good.
So I'm enjoying that. And also I got Dylan Dog.
Yeah, right. Brandon Routh,
yeah. Huh. That was interesting. I'm kind of torn on that one. There's stuff I liked about it and stuff that didn't quite work for me. The premise here is that he's a private investigator whose clients are almost exclusively the living dead and the supernatural creatures.
Gotcha.
And so there's a mystery afoot, and there's in the course of solving the mystery, he has contacts among, the vampires and the werewolves and the zombies. And so, I don't know. I guess, Brandon Routh, he does a good job. He really works hard to sell the character. And yet, as much as I liked him in the role, I can't help but think that maybe it should have gone to someone else. Because Brandon Routh, I like the guy. And like I said, this isn't a knock on him, but he doesn't really have that sort of, world-weary persona. he doesn't look like, he's been through hell and back, which is what this character is. Because, I'm thinking back to Cowboys and Aliens. You look at Daniel Craig. I mean, look at his face. This is a guy who's been roughed up a little.
That's right.
And Brandon Routh, he doesn't quite have that quality. But he did a lot of good things in the movie, too. Because the character has kind of a sharp wit, and he sold that element of the character very well. So.
All right. So recommended?
I guess I would say make it a rental, if you like horror stuff.
All right.
But I'm not so sure I'd go for the purchase.
Gotcha. Let's see. For me, I don't know, movie called Clash. I'd heard about it for a little while ago, kind of left my radar. It's a Vietnamese action movie starring a guy who's underrated who I really like. Johnny Tri Nguyen, that's his name. And I keep mispronouncing that Vietnamese name. I apologize. Because I'm a bumbling American. But anyway, he was in The Protector, and he's in The Rebel, which is a movie I really liked. And this one's pretty good. A little slow in parts, some cliches here and there, but some fantastic martial arts fighting, great choreography, no wires, no CGI. And it's... I definitely throw that in the Netflix queue or pick that up, you know, give it a rental. Again, I'm not fully endorsing a purchase, but yeah, movies Clash, also known as Bayrong. So that's all I'll give you, because I don't think anyone cares about, I don't know. Do you care about WWE's greatest superstars of the 21st century? Actually, I will say that this is, I mean, I don't, you know, normally WWE does pretty good DVD releases. On this one was a little iffy. They just run down like a whole bunch of their stars. And the first disc is this program that each star gets like 3 minutes or whatever. But they introduce them in this real cheesy manner where, you know, they pose and lightning strikes and then they freeze, you know, and they show their name. It's like an intro to Mortal Kombat 3. It's really corny, so.
Yeah, I could never get into wrestling.
I mean.
The ads make it look all action-packed. And then when you watch the actual actual wrestling match, it's like so slow. They like take 10 minutes to set up one of those stunts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a soap opera, you know, but.
That's true.
Something's working in their favor. So, yeah, so there you go. All right, well, let's move on to what's coming up. Right, Mac, what do we got?
Sure thing. I'm so far behind, I'm not even at the site yet.
All right.
We are going to go to DVDverdict.com. See, we'll do this as I say it. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And from there, we're going to scroll down to the cover art gallery for August 9th. I'm just going to talk about what's coming out next week.
Okay. Oh, what is coming out next week? There's Bikini Girls on Ice. Well, there's a movie Clash, all the way to the left, three rows down.
Oh, okay. They kind of look like they're dancing. Looks like one of those dance, like Step It Up or something.
No, not that. That's for sure. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Ooh, check this out, Mac. Underneath those Fox and the Hound releases, Jack Hunter. The quest for Akathian's tomb.
Wow. But he doesn't look anything at all like a certain other fictional character, does he?
Wow. That's awesome. With nods to Indiana Jones and the Mummy, Jack Hunter is a nonstop adrenaline rush that will have you cheering to the end, quoted from All Star Radio Networks. Wow, sweet.
So who's starring in that? Who plays Jack?
Jack Hunter? Ivan Sergei. Sergei. Jack Hunter.
Let's see. Oh, there's Paul with...
That's right.
Their names are skipping me again.
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg, yeah. This is like the third time I've forgotten their names in the podcast.
Now, Mars Needs Moms. Was that like one of the biggest flops ever?
Supposedly, yeah. And that's why the studios want Zemeckis to pull the plug on the motion capture thing.
Really?
Because it bombed so bad, yeah. That's the rumor, at least.
That's right. That's Zemeckis. Hey, speaking of wrestling, there's Steve Austin carving out a little straight-to-DVD mini-career, Tactical Force.
Isn't there already a movie named that?
Probably.
Let's see. We have Your Highness with Natalie Portman.
That's right.
A spoof on fantasy movies.
Kind of interested, though. That bombed pretty hard, too.
Came and went pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's an oldie but goodie from Days Gone By. Remember the cartoon Mask?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like the vehicles that, like... They're not the Transformers, but they have like hidden guns in them.
That's right. I own my share. Look at that mask. What did MASK stand for? Do we get anything?
Oh, that's a good question. I might have to look that up.
Mobile Armored Strike Command with a K.
Nice.
Defends the world against Miles Mayhem and his nefarious international criminal organization Venom, which is an acronym. The very same group responsible for the death of Tracker's teenage brother. His own son, Scott, and the Secret Strike Force, including engineer Bruce Sato, courageous historian Hondo McLean. Right, whatever.
Every team needs a courageous historian.
I'm just waiting for the Spiral Zone to come.
There you go.
All right, what else? Anything else here? Last call? We got anything?
Let's see. Not too much else. But...
Yeah, it's pretty lean, I would say. Pretty lean. Here's my vote for favorite unfortunate DVD neighbors in this release, you know, one next to it. There's Webster Season 3 and something called Wide Open, which does not look like a family.
No.
Oh, hey, real quick, Super, right above there. With
that's right.
About that. That seems like up your alley.
That's an indie movie with, what's her name, the girl from Juno. Ellen Page.
Yeah. And Dwight Schrute is in that one, too.
Right, yeah. It's just like a spoof on superheroes. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about it. And it's a comedy. It's a spoof. Other than that, I don't know much about it. But, yeah, I'm curious, though.
All right. So that doesn't prevent you from perusing and purchasing and supporting DVD Verdict. All right. Inadvertently smoothly sounding DVD release of the week.
Okay, I guess I'll just go with Lifted.
Okay. Not too shabby. How about Bass Hagen and Snapper Chumman?
Nice.
But I don't know what that means. Okay.
I just saw Jug Fishing Made Simple.
That's pretty good. Jug Fishing. I like that. All right. Finally, like we're rattling on through this, Mac. We do pretty well. Ambush topic time, where we just throw random topics at each other. And what do you got this week, Mac? I'll let you go first.
Okay. let's see. Let's go with clunky spacesuits.
Good. Very good. Clunky spacesuits. I mean, spacesuits are clunky anyway. Okay. I'm trying to think of like something in sci-fi that would be utilized, you know, but... Yeah, let me think. You go ahead.
Okay. Well, in Star Trek First Contact, we get our very first look at the Star Trek, you know, the Federation's spacesuits when they go walking on the outside of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much like what you'd think sci-fi spacesuits would look like. They're all silvery. They've got big dome things over the actors' heads. And what really gets me, though, is that way back in the late 60s, early 70s in Star Trek, the animated series, they had these little doohickeys on their belts where they could just press the button and there'd be the invisible energy field around them, and then they could go out in space and float around without even needing a spacesuit. I'm like, so why doesn't the next generation have that technology? I wonder if it was created, you know, or if it was discovered to be harmful in some way that
probably.
They didn't know at the time.
We need like a. There's got to. You're telling me there's not a book out there that just fills in or asks these questions and attempts to answer them somehow.
Oh, there must be.
There's got to be. Like just backfilling all those question marks. All right, I got one. I'm gonna instead of the spacesuit, I'm gonna call it an inner spacesuit. Is that okay?
Sure.
And of course, I'm talking about what the bad guy was wearing in the movie Interspace when he went to hunt. Dennis Quaid, remember?
That's right.
Big, clunky mech thing. So Dennis Quaid's tooling around in his little spaceship, and this guy shows up in his highly advanced mech suit, and he's got a drill on it and, like, a flamethrower and all kinds of stuff. And it totally screws him over at the end because his loss of flexibility and agility leads him to getting dropped into some Martin Short stomach acid.
Right.
Which is a pretty dope way to go, by the way.
I know.
So I got to give that up, you know. I got digested. And Martin Short burps, which is fantastic.
Yes. So.
All right. Okay. Now, before we got on, I was turning the TV on. I just caught the end of the nightmarish Return to Oz. I think we've talked about that once in a while on the show. Man, they really don't make, like, those PG kids movies that will traumatize you anymore, you know? Like Return to Oz. I mean, Neverending Story had some dark moments, too.
Yeah. I guess you could say Harry Potter, but
that's kind of its own. A stretch. I mean, kids are 8 years old and reading them all now. but anyway, so one of the more freakish creations of that movie is were those roller skate guys. You know, the guys with those roller blades attached to their hands, and they were on all fours.
Oh, yeah.
Terrifying. so that's all I'll say is dope roller skating. If you take my item. Boned, but go ahead.
let's see, dope roller skating.
Actually, this one should be right up your alley.
That's right. So I guess I'll just go there and let's go with you know, the Kansas City Bomber, the famous movie about the roller derby. You know, a lot of the stunts in the movie were performed by actual Derby stars of the 70s, so we got some real action. My favorite was when King Richard Brown picks up this, I think that was his name, but he picks up the metal trash can and he puts it over his opponent's head, and then he like punches the opponent twice, right, like where his face would be, except it's covered by the trash can. The opponent like starts spinning around because he's on skates, and I'm not quite sure the physics works there.
Yeah, right. Another one. Maybe they have some fan fiction like the Star Wars or Star Trek that we can backfill those to.
But yeah, the famous metal trash can in the middle of the ring there.
It's better than
never used for trash. It was always used to like beat people with.
That's better than the sedated alligator in the middle of the ring.
That's true.
All right. Well, for me, of course, my beloved terrible. Speaking of terrible kids movies, Solar Babies.
Oh, yeah.
Solar Babies, one of my favorites, just in its utter futility. And, of course, yeah, it's the future. Water is a commodity. All the like kids of the future are kind of brainwashed, and they go to school, and they compete in roller skating competitions. They got to blow off steam or whatnot. And just a small group led by Jason Patrick. And what's her face? Come on, Jason Patrick, Peter DeLuise from 21 Jump Street, a young the kid from Mars Attacks, with the big ears, whatever his name is.
Oh, that guy.
That guy, Lucas.
Yeah,
Haas.
Yeah.
And then what is her name from Twister? Helen Hunt.
No. Oh, Jamie Gertz.
Jamie Gertz. Yes, Jamie Gertz. She's in this as well as Jason Patrick's love interest. So a real nice cavalcade of 80s. Almost stars, quasi stars, and just really, just terrible. And so they just traverse like an apocalyptic desert landscape in roller skates. Doesn't really make much sense. And poor Peter DeLuise was obviously not casted for his roller skating ability, because all the wide shots where he's in, he just looks like he's hanging on for dear life. So it's, yeah, but I'd encourage you, check out my Solar Babies review. A little infamous, because I kind of wrote it up like a scholarly paper.
You did. It was very insightful.
But Mike Staley had asked me where all my sources were for my academic work. I had to kind of. So obviously that joke cratered in a big way. So, yeah. But anyway, and I never once understood the name Solar Babies. I don't know how that passed the focus groups or anything. It doesn't make any sense to me.
So. Lots of weirdness for weirdness' sake in that movie.
Yes, yes. it's got the, especially the little meteor thing, Bodai.
He's
a little
that's right.
AI meteorite guy, and they all like hold hands, and the water flows from the dam. And
that was the ET moment with him.
There you go. Now we're getting somewhere. That's why we had that movie. So, all right. Well, I think that's it, Mac. I think it's a nice slice of podcast brevity for everybody. I guess with that, we can just wrap it up. Wish everybody a nice, fruitful weekend. I don't know what's coming out. Actually, I don't know what is coming out this weekend.
Planet of the Apes?
Planet of the Apes, which has actually got pretty good. It has got pretty good reviews. So if you do see it, it's just that in here.
It's got some buzz.
Yeah, it's got some buzz. So my next tentpole is Conan. So, cross my fingers. We shall see. So, okay. Well, with that being said, thank you, everybody, for checking us out. Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is our email. Mac, take us away.
Great White Buffalo.